Hello and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, episode 102. I'm your host, the Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me is my co-host and nemesis, Pete Michaud.
It's good to be here, Nemmy Cakes.
Glad to have you back. We are back, of course, once again to talk about what's going on in the world of Nintendo. So we've got some game impressions, we've got a little bit of news, and then we've got our big topic for this week, which is the games of summer.
Is that like the boys of summer?
Well, it's not boys, it's games. They're good for boys and girls. But speaking of games of summer, you know, we had a really big Nintendo summer release just a couple of days ago, and that is Splatoon 2 for the Switch.
Woohoo!
I haven't played a ton of the game yet, but Pete, what about you? Have you been into this? Have you been enjoying it? Have you been playing single player, multiplayer, going online, trying everything out, checking out the app? Tell me, what are your thoughts of Splatoon 2 so far?
So, yeah, Splatoon 2, I have played a little bit of. I'm probably, let's say, maybe 2 hours in. You know, you kind of get lost in the plaza. At least I do.
Well, it's easy to look around and just keep checking things out. Yeah.
Yeah. And you, like, honestly, the way the game's kind of set up, you don't really, like, there's not a lot of hand holding. You just kind of, like, go explore and figure out what you're doing.
I suppose.
Today, I was kind of bugging you about how do I even get to Salmon Run mode? Like, I have no idea how you even do that, which sounds crazy, but, like, it's not always open.
This is very true.
So I've played some online, you know, regular mode.
Turf War?
Yes, I've played some Turf War.
Yeah, how'd that go for you?
Well, I've gotten my paint handed to me, basically. But, you know, it's fun. If you played the original Splatoon, it is not wholly different. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's also a good thing. From what I've played online so far, there's definitely a lot of competition out there.
I think
I'm only level 5, and I've probably lost the vast majority of my matches.
Yeah, me.
But, that being said, it's fun. It's fun, and, you know, I'm enjoying it. It feels like the version that ought to be out there in the wild.
What's your weapon choice so far?
Weapon of choice so far, well, I'm kind of a scrub, so I don't really have access to all the weapons, but I think it's just the regular blaster.
Okay.
I have just tried the dualies, which I'm kind of enjoying, but haven't really played too much of them yet.
Okay.
So yeah, kind of what you reference as a noob. Yeah. How about you? Are you playing this at all?
Well, I've played a little bit. I've played almost entirely in single-player mode, and I've gone through about the first 5 levels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's definitely fun. I was able to adapt to the new button layout very, very easily. And I find that it's just a lot like the original game in terms of the level design. I do like a lot of the new content. I really enjoyed those paint rails and grinding on those when I got to that part.
Yeah, pretty cool.
And then have you seen those enemies that, like, barf out these big paint roller things?
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you're talking
about. Those are pretty gnarly. They're pretty gross, but they're pretty gnarly. So I'm not sure if I like them or I hate them, but they definitely got my attention.
Well, that's kind of how I feel about you.
Ah, understandable, understandable. I do occasionally barf up large projectiles.
You're telling me.
But that's all I've played so far. I haven't done any online. I haven't tried out the app. Haven't had a chance to do Turf War or Ranked Battle or anything like that. What about you? Have you played much single-player mode so far?
Just a little bit. I've just kind of poked my head into that area, and I think, like, I haven't even beat the first level, but I'm just about to.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I know. I know. That, but online, to me, is where it's at in that game, so.
Well, of course, a big part of online this time is the new app. How is the new app working for you?
You know, what I've seen so far, it's funny. It's like I'm not terribly impressed, but at the same time, I think there's some promise. I like the idea of how they're using it, and I think that, mm-hmm. you know, the cool thing about apps are they're meant to be updated, and there's a potential that they're going to keep making this a little bit more feature-driven, more robust.
I certainly hope so.
Yeah, I know. It's getting a lot of flack online, obviously, and probably rightfully so for the way, you know, it's a little convoluted how you do multiplayer chat, which I haven't actually use, so I can't speak to that.
Okay.
But at the same time, like, at this moment, it's not great from everything I've read, but mm-hmm. again, apps are meant to be updated, and I do hope that Nintendo is listening to complaints. You know, there's a couple oversights that just seem like kind of crazy, like the fact that your phone mm-hmm. can't go to sleep, or your audio cuts off, or your or you multitask. Obviously, you go to, like, some other, you know, go to text somebody, why aren't you on yet? And then all of a sudden, you know, you're out of the chat.
Mm-hmm.
So that's unfortunate. Those feel like things that will be fixed, but who knows?
Yeah, I certainly hope so as well. Now, one mode I've been really excited to play but haven't been able to try yet is the Salmon Run mode. Have you had a chance to deal with this mode yet?
No. In fact, I kind of hinted at it earlier. You can't access it all the time. Like, actually, I wanted to play it before I got on the mic today with you. But, unfortunately, it's not open.
I know
where it belongs. I know where to go. But, yeah, I just can't play it. Now, at 2 a.m., I can play it. But I don't think that really helps. So, yeah, I'll be fast asleep by then.
Yeah, it's completely ridiculous, in my opinion. And to be honest, I don't have the game yet. I went over to a friend's house and I tried it there, and that's where I was playing single player mode. But after hearing about the features, or lack of thereof, for the Salmon Run mode, I was actually feeling kind of discouraged about it, because that was the thing I was looking forward to. I'm not really into online versus multiplayer, but the thought of playing online with my friends or my nemesis really appealed to me. And so the fact that you can't play anytime kind of sucks, and apparently the schedule isn't even on the app. And sure, you can do local Salmon Run anytime, but that's, you know, pretty hard to coordinate sometimes, especially if your nemesis lives on the other side of the country. So based on all that, I've decided that I'm not getting the game just yet. I mean, I like what I've played in single player mode, even though a lot of it feels very familiar, but still, it's this lack of being able to do the cooperative online stuff I was really interested in that's kind of turned me off. So I'm still taking a wait and see approach. And to me, it just seems crazy that Nintendo wants people to pay for their online services starting next year, but they're still just giving out these half measures where you can't even play the mode that you want to play. So that's kind of how I'm seeing it right now.
Yeah, you know, I'm sort of historically a Nintendo apologist.
Yes, this is true.
I'll announce that about myself. But I don't know how to explain why they're doing it this way. That being said,
well, apparently it's to prevent the audience from being fragmented. But still, that doesn't really seem like the best solution for the consumer.
Well, I'm feeling very fragmented at this moment. But I think...
I'm sorry to hear that.
I think that, you know, in some ways, it kind of makes me
scream,
play more, because it's like, well, you know, oh, now I'm going to maybe set a clock so I can go play Salmon Run mode when it comes available, which I know sounds really weird and twisted, but that's the way my brain works.
Well, you're definitely weird and twisted.
So I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. Once I've had it for a little bit more time, maybe we can talk again.
Yeah, I would certainly be interested in hearing more about it and seeing how all this unfolds. I mean, they have promised there's going to be more content and more features and more stuff added, and I hope that includes a better, more cohesive, more modern online functionality.
Agreed.
Not holding my breath, but I'm kind of hoping for it.
Could you actually hold your breath and then just like keep going for it?
Pete, when you're around, I always want to hold my breath.
I will say, I do like the potential of the app, and I like that there could be an app tie-in for other games that Nintendo's coming down the pipeline. And so I'm interested to see what they do with that. I think the idea of, like, you know, buying items when you're offline with in-game money or things of that nature has a lot of possibilities. So I guess I'm curious to see how they use that in the future.
Yes, me too. I mean, as much as people complain about some aspects of the app, there are some parts about it that are really good. So hopefully they'll just be able to improve it, keep the stuff that works, and just make the darn thing even better. So as I said, I did not pick up the game yet. Obviously you did. Are you happy with it so far? Was it a wise purchase? Is it, you know, one of your top Switch games or anything like that yet?
You know, it's funny. I kind of had that same comment about Mario Kart. It's like, as soon as I bought Mario Kart, there was a minute where I was sitting on my couch and I was thinking, wow, I just bought the same game again for $60. But this is obviously a different game. I mentioned this before. Mm-hmm. This feels like the version you're supposed to own. So far, I'm digging it. I love the aesthetic. I love all the bells and whistles that they've added to this version. The fact that there's new guns, new weapons. I think that when I can finally access Salmon Run mode, I will be happy as well.
Hope so.
But yeah, so far I'm enjoying it. I love most things about it, so we'll see where it goes.
All right. Cool to hear. Now, we didn't get to talk about this last week, but did you end up playing the Splatfest demo, and which side did you fall on?
Oh, I never got to play it. Did you play it? Were you ketchup or mayo?
Oh, well, that's the next one. That one hasn't happened yet.
Oh, I mean, were you cake or ice cream? Wait, did we talk about this?
No, I didn't get to play it. I was out of town, unfortunately, and wasn't able to play the Splatfest demo. But the next one is ketchup versus mayo. Which side are you going to fall on for this one?
You know, I'm actually sort of a tartar sauce guy, so I hate to say it, but
I'm
kind of a mayo guy. Like, How about you?
See, I'm a mustard guy, so I don't really want to say ketchup or mayo, at least not as a condiment. Like, you know, I'll use ketchup on my fries and I'll use mayo, you know, as an ingredient in, you know, egg salad or tuna salad or something like that. But as a condiment, it's like something I'm going to dip things in, I'd probably have to go with ketchup very reluctantly. I mean, I'd rather choose ranch dressing or mustard or something, but I guess I'll have to go with ketchup.
You know, mustard says a lot about you.
As in, you know, preferred by people with good taste?
As in, pardon me, do you have any Grey Poupon?
Exactly.
For something like that.
Now, I have another question pertaining to Splatoon 2 for you. Did you get any of the amiibo?
Amiibo!
Oh, Chris. No, I did not. Now, I'm going to go out on a wild limb here and think that maybe you picked some up?
Why, yes, Pete. As a matter of fact, despite not getting the game, I got all three of the brand new Splatoon amiibo. As well as the 6 new Smash Brothers amiibo. And I'm sure you are dying to know what I think of all of them. So let me run down the list.
I would love to know, Chris, please.
So first of all, when it comes to the Splatoon amiibo, I've got to say I love the glossy finish that's used on all of them. And not just these new ones, also on all the previously released ones. So their ink splats, as well as their hair or tentacles, whatever you want to call it, is really shiny and it really stands out. And that's something that I really like about all of them.
Cool. And now, is that something that's different than most amiibos, or are there any other amiibos that kind of have that same look?
I don't think so. As far as I know, this is a trademark of the Splatoon amiibo. Like, none of the Smash amiibo that I can think of have this glossy finish on them. Most of them are just a flat, matte finish.
Gotcha.
But so first we've got the squid. And he is nice and purple, which is my favorite color, so I dig that about him. Also, it's got a huge ink splash, so it's almost twice as big as the older versions of the squid. So I really like him for that reason. However, you know, it's not especially detailed. The squid's a really simple design, and you can see this huge seam between the front and back halves of his head. So that's a little bit weird, but still, I do rather like him just because he's a large purple squid. Then, of course, you've got the Inkling Girl. She's got pink hair. She is armed with dualies. And she has kind of an awkward pose where it looks like she's about to break her ankle or something. But it's still pretty cool. And it's still a rather dynamic design that I like. And then we have the boy, who's looking a little bit more heroic with his pose. He's got the green hair. And he's got a really cool texture on his shoes. So, I don't know. That might be my favorite of the three Splatoon amiibo. Then when it comes to the Smash amiibo, all I can say is finally. I am glad I finally have my hands on these last 6. It feels like we were waiting forever to get these 3 characters. And not only did we get them, but we got them in 2 variations each. So we got the regular version of Cloud, who, yes, indeed, it looks just like Cloud from Final Fantasy VII.
Surprise, surprise.
Or from Smash Brothers. So it's a very simple but effective pose with his huge sword behind him. The right amount of detail, the face looks great, and it's just cool to have a Nintendo-manufactured Cloud amiibo, because this is something that, you know, if you told me about this like 5 years ago, I'd be like, you're completely insane. Nothing like this will ever exist. Why would it? So it's just kind of awesome in that regard.
You remember, like the time when I said Kingdom Hearts 3 would come out first on a Nintendo platform?
Yes, something like that. And that still apparently is not going to happen, I'm sorry to tell you. But
we'll see. We'll see about
it'd
that.
It'd be nice.
Nimmy cake.
Square Enix has said they would consider it, but it would not be that platform first, I'm afraid. Anyway, then we have the Player 2 Cloud from Advent Children. And I never really realized until I got this amiibo in my hand how darn emo he seems. Like, he even seems to have, like, extra eyeliner on compared to Player 1 Cloud. Maybe that's more goth than emo, but either way, I don't like it quite as much as Player 1 Cloud. He's got a very similar pose, but he's all in black with his half jacket on. It's a far less interesting design, but still not a bad figure.
Right.
Then we've got regular Bayonetta from her Bayonetta 2 design. It's a great pose with her hair or fringe or whatever it is fluttering in the wind. Lots of detail, got some intricate designs on her outfit. And also the face is really great. It's even got her little tiny mole on her face, and you can see her winking. So all that stuff is really, really neat. Her stance is so wide, she doesn't even fit on the base. So they use these semi-transparent little supports on her feet to keep her, you know, where she's supposed to be. It's a little unsightly, but it's not too bad. And overall, I'd say it's a really fun amiibo. And then we've got the Player 2 Bayonetta, which is from her Bayonetta 1 design, with her kind of, you know, big beehive-type hair and these massive cape-like bits of hair or whatever they are, and these long flowing red ribbons. Again, lots of detail, like these really cool gold chains, or maybe they're zippers running up her legs and down her hair. And her stance is, again, really wide, so they have to use those support pieces. But when you look at the amiibo from behind, her pose just seems really weird. Like, her back is arched in this really bizarre way, like she's about to, you know, break her spine in half. And her left arm is kind of, like, wedged between her butt cheeks. So, you know, it's not really a flaw of the amiibo, per se, as so much as it probably just is the original design in the game. But yeah, it looks really odd when you look at it from behind. So it's probably my least favorite overall. Then we've got Corrin, the Player 1 male version of Corrin, with a really detailed armor, a cool pose, a neat flowing cape, and his sword run out in front of him with some translucent pink energy crackling around it. He's also got a support that connects to his back, but it's really not very noticeable, and I didn't even see that he had it until I took him out of the package. So I like the way that they kind of made that hidden and found a good way to support him. I guess that's necessary because the legs are kind of on the skinny side, but it's a pretty cool figure.
Cool.
And then last but not least, or maybe it is least, we have the female Player 2 version of Corrin. And that was the one that I always used in the Fire Emblem game, and I would tend to use her if I was going to use her in Smash Brothers. So I like the female Corrin better. And like the male counterpart, she has a very nicely detailed suit of armor. I like the way she's holding onto her cape with her left hand. But then her right hand, she's got it, you know, behind her back holding her sword, kind of like Cloud is. But mine was all messed up in the package, and it didn't really fit into the bubble correctly. So it was all warped and bent and curved in weird directions. So I'm currently trying to fix mine by using a rubber band to try to get it back into place. Mm. But, you know, it's kind of lame because, you know, this was an online exclusive. You can't even find it in a store. So even if I wanted to go out and try to find one that wasn't messed up, it's impossible. Wow. All I could do is, you know, order online for, you know, an exorbitant prices. Now they're selling them for like $50 or something. And I'm certainly not going to do that, even if it wasn't sight unseen. But anyway, aside from this bent problem with her sword, I do really like the figure. It is pretty great. I just wish that it was in proper shape. As the way it is, it's kind of like a big disappointment, but if you could fix that, it would be, you know, one of my favorites right up there with Player 1 Cloud. So, Yeah, of course, it's amiibo, so I'm kind of, you know, biased towards them all, and again, I'm fairly happy with my purchases.
Yeah, that's too bad. I mean, honestly, hopefully you can fix it. I actually do feel bad for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the end of the world, and it is very flexible plastic, so I have been able to move it quite a bit, but, you know, it's just a matter of will it retain this shape or will it start bending back to the way it was in the package where it got warped to begin with. So we shall see.
Right. Now, you mentioned that there's a squid. Do you think that there will ever be a Blooper Nanny amiibo available?
Blooper Nanny?
Yeah, Blooper Nanny.
Is that the blooper that's with the kids following it?
Yeah, that's a Blooper Nanny.
Is it like a Hootenanny?
No, that's a Hoedown.
Well, you know, we are getting regular Koopa and Goomba amiibo coming later this year.
Oh.
I assume we will get a regular blooper before we get a Blooper Nanny. But, you know, once we run out of all the other Mario characters, yes, it's very possible.
I just kind of wanted you to say Blooper Nanny.
I'll bet you did.
The other question I had is, if they made a Pearl and Marina amiibo, would you be all over it? I mean,
oh, heck yeah.
You wouldn't be all over it anyway, but especially all over it.
Maybe we talked about this last week when you weren't on, but I thought we talked about it a couple weeks ago when they were first unveiled.
We did.
I really like their character designs.
Yep.
I really like the amiibo of Callie and Marie,
mm-hmm.
and I definitely think that those two new characters deserve amiibo, and I believe, you know, for no reason, other than that, you know, I just think they're going to do it. I believe that they will make them down the line.
Yeah, so I have a feeling.
I hope that's true.
Yeah. And so one more time, you're Team Pearl or Team Marina? I think Pearl, right?
I think I said Pearl last time, but Marina's growing on me.
Yeah. I'm Team Marina. Mm-hmm. Just for the record.
Okay, well, then maybe I'll be on Team Pearl just so we can be on opposite sides then. Sounds fair. So while Splatoon 2 and all those amiibo were probably the biggest releases for Nintendo fans in the last week, they certainly weren't the only new releases. While you've been playing Splatoon 2, I have been playing Fate Extella, the Umbral Star on Nintendo Switch.
Oh, what do you think?
Well, it is a lot like Dynasty Warriors. And by that, I mean it's got lots of hacking and lots of slashing and then more hacking and more slashing and comboing and hacking and slashing and super attacks. So what I'm saying is it does get a little bit repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, the fun of these games has a lot to do with the setting and the characters just as much, maybe even more so than the gameplay, because it can get old after you're just, you know, hacking guys up for, you know, 15 or 20 minutes. And that's why I like Hyrule Warriors and why I'm looking forward to Fire Emblem Warriors, because I'm invested in the characters and the worlds of these games.
Right, makes sense.
But I don't know the Fate universe at all, so to me, everything just kind of seems like nonsense. Like there's something about a comet coming close to Earth and it wiping out humanity and people being, you know, kind of extinct. So they have to go to the moon and they live in a digital world. And these warriors are fighting for control. And somehow they're based on historical or mythological figures. And I don't know if it's supposed to be a mystery or if it's just because I'm completely unfamiliar with the lore. But it's totally nuts.
Right.
It's well written. But it is totally nuts.
Right, it's kind of how I feel when you start talking about amiibo.
Well, amiibo are pretty easy to understand. This stuff is just off the chain craziness.
Right.
And there's tons of story. It's not just hack and slash action. It's broken up by these very lengthy cutscenes with lots of dialogue in between battles. And I know that some of the past Fate games have been visual novels, so you know, this really shows, you know, those roots. I think I spent like 30 minutes between battles sometimes just watching these cutscenes. You do get dialogue choices as well, but mostly you're just watching it. Also, I should note that all the dialogue is in Japanese with English subtitles. So if that's something that, you know, you're not into, there's fair warning.
Or maybe you're into it.
Yeah. I mean, I certainly don't mind at all. Anyway, the gameplay is fine, but I kind of felt for a lot of the time I was just mashing buttons and, you know, looking at my map and trying to get to the hot spots as fast as possible so I wasn't overwhelmed by the enemy army. Meanwhile, like, you know, it's hard to even tell what's going on. I'm just, you know, mashing and, you know, killing 1,000 guys all at once. And, you know, they all fly into the air and come back down and they're dead. So, you know, the lore hasn't hooked me yet, and without that, the game just seems kind of all right. You know, if I were going to give it a review at this point, I'd probably say something like a 6.5.
All right.
But if you like these kind of games, if you like Dynasty Warriors, then, you know, you'll probably find it a lot more interesting than I did. On the other hand, you know, maybe you just want to hold out a few more months and wait for Fire Emblem Warriors to come out. So
right.
It's all right. It's certainly not bad, but yeah, it can get very repetitive and the story is just, you know, off the chain crazy, so consider yourself warned in that regard.
Well, thank you. I'm actually personally waiting for Fate Nutella. I'm hoping it's going to be delicious.
Ah, yes, Fate Nutella, the Umbrella Star. Watch out for that falling Nutella from the sky.
That's ridiculous.
Changing gears a little bit, have you heard about the rumors of the N64 Classic?
Oh, you know, I hadn't until you sort of mentioned it to me over Twitter. Why don't you tell the folks?
Well, some new trademarks were discovered featuring images of Nintendo controllers. And most of them are for images that we've already seen, like the NES controller image that's on the NES Classic box,
mm-hmm,
and the Super NES controller image that's on the SNES Classic box. However, there was also an image of an N64 controller done in the same style. So some people are thinking, well, perhaps that means there's going to be an N64 Classic down the road. And, you know, certainly there could be, but, you know, this is far from a confirmation. If it did happen, it certainly wouldn't happen anytime soon. I'm sure they would wait another year or maybe even more. Or who knows, maybe this image is just going to be used in Virtual Console for Switch whenever that happens, if it ever happens. Or maybe it's just an early precaution, so they'll have it ready in case they decide to do anything with it.
Right.
So, I'd certainly take this rumor with a grain of salt.
Yeah, this is a very hot take you got here, Chris. You know, in Nintendo 64, if they did a classic version, I think I would almost buy it just for a brand new N64 controller. It would just be like amazing to see a brand new one, because all the ones that I've seen in the last, decade are just, there's like somebody poured dirt down the analog stick hole.
they're pretty grungy. Yeah. It's true.
Yeah. So I would actually be intrigued to see one and see how it actually functions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think it would be great to have it. I just kind of have doubt as to whether we would see anything like this anytime soon. And then there's like a rather big problem with the concept of an N64 classic, and that is that you couldn't put Rare games on it. And Rare was such a big part of the N64 era. So unless, hell froze over and they're able to have some sort of agreement with Microsoft, we're not going to have Banjo-Kazooie, Banjo-Tooie, Jet Force Gemini, GoldenEye, Perfect Dark, Conker, Killer Instinct, or any of the other titles that they brought out.
Yeah,
you make
a very good point. That's a big list.
I mean, I guess we get, DK64 and Diddy Kong Racing, right. But yeah. However, with all that said, I think they could still find enough games to make this a compelling system, and so I decided to put together a little list of what games I thought might be on such a system if they decide to do 20 games like they're doing with the Super NES Classic.
Cool. Yeah, let's do it. I want to hear.
Okay. All right, here we go. Here's my quick list. Obviously, Super Mario 64.
Mm-hmm. Have to.
Obviously, The Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time.
Yep.
Legend of Zelda, Majora's Mask.
Right.
Paper Mario, Super Smash Brothers,
mm-hmm.
Mario Kart 64, my favorite Mario Kart game,
mm-hmm.
Donkey Kong 64, with the DK rap, of course.
Oh, man.
Pilot Wings 64,
mm-hmm.
Mischief Makers, that's kind of a long shot dark horse, but I think it would be cool.
You're a mischief maker.
Indeed I am. F-Zero X, Cruisin' USA, Diddy Kong Racing, Kirby 64, the Crystal Shards, Star Fox 64,
wow.
Mario Tennis, Mario Golf, Mario Party 2. I don't include one Mario Party game. I think Mario Party 2 would be the way to go.
Yep, agreed.
Pokemon Snap, Wave Race 64, and then, last but not least, Sin and Punishment, which of course was never released on cartridge in the U.S. We didn't get that until Virtual Console came out, but it's an awesome game, and so I'd love to see that included, if such a thing were to happen.
Yeah, Sin and Punishment's great. Good choice. Mm-hmm. You know, the other thing is, as you were saying that, a couple things popped into my head. So having an HDMI out on an N64 would be insane. I have no idea what that would even look like. If you go back and play an N64, the graphics are so, like filtered, I guess. I don't know how to say it. Mm-hmm. If you plug it into, an HDTV, it just looks like hot garbage. You have to see it.
Well, that's true. That's true.
You have to see it for yourself, yeah.
But there are Virtual Console N64 games on Wii U, and so I imagine it would just look a lot like that. They don't look terrible.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, yeah, I mean, that's one aspect that I like. The other is, if they did release the controller, do you think it has a rumble built in? Or do you think the rumble would be an accessory you could buy? Or do you think there's just, a plastic over the hole where there used to be a rumble pack or memory card?
I would like to think they would just have the rumble and the save functionality just built on into everything, as it should be.
Yeah, I hope so too.
You wouldn't have to buy a separate expansion pack to play Majora's Mask either.
Ooh, you know what? This is a little insider knowledge that I heard passed down, word of mouth at Nintendo.
Ooh, oh yeah?
Yeah, so the Rumble Pack, the reason why the Rumble Pack had a battery, because that was annoying, right? Your Rumble Pack.
I totally forgot about that. Yeah,
So your Rumble Pack had a battery. I guess that Nintendo created this thing, and then when you actually had four controllers plugged in with four Rumble Packs, it was just over the limit that was possible to supply. It was just a hair over. If you didn't use all four, it didn't matter. So it's kind of unfortunate they couldn't just make Rumble Pack work for one controller. But that's the way it worked. So,
Yeah, very interesting.
And again, I don't know if that's actually true. That's just what I'd heard. So, Chris, one thing I was thinking about with the N64 Classic, do you think that there might be a dark horse in the mix, one that would be like the Star Fox 2 of the Nintendo 64. Like, what is that purchase? I have a couple thoughts on that, but I don't know. Did you think of anything?
Well, I kind of felt like Sin and Punishment sort of filled that niche.
Yeah.
But other than, you know, doing something from the N64 DD or something like that,
yeah.
I wouldn't expect it, no.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess, for one, it could definitely have, like, the Ocarina of Time Master Quest. That's a possibility, because that's been released.
I suppose so.
That would be pretty cool. I would say that a really far-fetched option would be Earthbound 64?
I don't think so.
I just want to start that rumor right now.
That game never even really existed. It's not like Star Fox 2 where it was, you know, done and then canned.
Right. So I would say the sort of split between those two is I'm going to go out and say that I bet you it would have GoldenEye.
Hmm.
Hot take. You heard it here.
Well, we shall see. Or maybe we won't. Who knows?
I'll bet you 10 amiibo on it.
I will bet you nothing, but you can give me 10 amiibo if you'd like, regardless.
Not a chance. I'll buy 10 amiibo and throw them in a fire.
But hey, speaking of classic systems, were you able to get a pre-order in on the Super NES Classic when the pre-orders went live on Walmart.com last Friday?
No, I was actually driving, and you know, it's funny, I saw your tweet, and of course, I screamed Hoffman, but it was more like a Hoffman!
Well, let me tell you, you really missed out then. You missed out on Walmart taking orders for about 40 minutes, and then apparently canceling them all today.
Oh, ooh, yeesh, really?
Yes, they claimed, there was a computer glitch. And so then they went and canceled most people's orders.
Mm.
And I got an email saying mine was canceled. But then I got another email saying my order was still good and it would be coming on release day. And then I got another email canceling it. So I actually got it canceled twice earlier today. So I would like to go on record and say that Walmart is a bunch of Koopa-sniffing, Birdo-licking, Dodongo suckers.
They are definitely blooper nannies over there.
And with that said, let's transition into a little bit of listener mail.
Why can't it be listener female?
Well, that might be wildly inappropriate, but I think in this case it might be true. This email comes from listener Holly F., and she, I assume it's a she, writes, I enjoyed episode 101 of the Power Pros podcast. I want to email you guys to bring up a recent underrated and underplayed crossover game, Tokyo Mirage Sessions #FE. Holy smokes, that game is weird, but gloriously so. And it's a solid RPG as well as a fun game for Fire Emblem fans to try out. I really loved all the nods to the series. And Holly, I have to say, I totally agree with you. That was a game I absolutely should have brought up when we were having our crossover discussion last week. But yes, that game is excellent. It's a lot of fun. To me, what makes it really interesting is the whole emphasis on the J-pop idol scene. But like you said, it's also got a ton of cool stuff in there for Fire Emblem and Shin Megami Tensei fans. It's absolutely a game that's worthy of being on the best crossovers list. Pete, did you have any thoughts on this one?
Well, Hoff, since you're vouching for it, I'm not so sure. But since it's good enough for Holly, I think I might give it a shot.
All right, fair enough. And with that said, I think it's time to take an intermission. So let's do that. And then when we come back, we'll discuss this week's big topic, which is the games of summer, or how to beat the heat. All right, we are back and we are ready to discuss this week's big topic, which is the games of summer, aka how to beat the heat. And by that, I mean, right now, as we record this, we're near the end of July. We've got heat waves going on all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
Out here where I'm recording, things are bursting into flames left and right. So, you know, maybe you don't want to go outside and experience the summer heat. Maybe you just want to stay inside and avoid the dehydration and the sunburn, but still have some summer fun with your games on your Nintendo consoles, you know?
Yeah, I've seen you on the beach. You blister like a little tomato.
Nobody wants to see that anyway. So, yes, I would much rather stay inside and play video games. Maybe that's what you want to do too. So we decide, let's put together a list of some of, you know, the top games you can play and still have some summer fun while enjoying the cool and relaxing indoors.
Let's do it.
So, first and foremost, we've got a couple of games that we've already been talking about quite a bit this episode, Splatoon and Splatoon 2. I don't know about you, Pete, but for me, I've always felt like these games were sort of made for summer. And I like the fact that both Splatoon 1 and Splatoon 2 were released around the summertime, because I know the games are about splatting people with ink, but to me, it feels more like a water gun fight or a water balloon fight, only without the huge mess and without, you know, the physical pain of having a water balloon smashed open on your head. So it's always just felt like an extension of that to me. And so because of that, just this whole water gun fight nature of it, and, you know, that expands to the fact that you're squids as well. They are aquatic creatures. It just seemed very, very much like, you know, this is a game that you should be playing in summer. And, you know, that's why I give big kudos to Nintendo for releasing the titles when they did.
Yeah, I see what your point is. I think that the water gun, squirt gun nature of the game is, lends itself well to summer. So if you are not in the mood to get, you know, sopping wet, I think that Splatoon is a perfectly viable opportunity to simulate real life squirt gun games.
Yep, that is certainly my take on it as well. And along those same lines, I think another game that was released recently and lent itself really, really well to summer is the 3DS title Ever Oasis. This is another game that's about cooling off, but in a completely different way. I mean, the whole idea is that there's this vast dry desert, and you, as the hero of the game, are maintaining this one single livable oasis by teaming up with a water spirit, and so everything is sort of based around that, whether you're exploring or helping people set up shops. But the whole idea is that you're, you know, making this uninhabitable dry region turn into a lush livable home. So after you go out and do your adventuring and go out and exploring the deserts and the caves, then you come back home and you are relaxing near this pool of water where the water spirit hangs out. And so it really makes for a fun and, in a lot of ways, relaxing game that really ties into this summer theme, whether it was, you know, intentional or not.
Yeah, that's cool. You keep mentioning that game, and I think that...
You played the demo yet or anything?
I haven't, but I want to play it. I want to play the game. I want to buy the game, actually. So, nice work.
Yeah, it's fun. I, you know, stopped playing it after about 10 hours in or so, but I really liked what I have experienced so far.
All right. Well, Chris, can I give you one of my games?
Sure.
So, I have spent a little time in my day playing California Games. Oh. Of course, it came out on the Wii Virtual Console, so I might have to fire that up this summer. One of my favorite was the Hacky Sack game, where you could basically keep this Hacky Sack going, and you could even like do tricks off of birds that flew by, and like
that sounds mean.
Yeah, it was kind of amazing, really, because like in real life that would be impossible. But you know, a good game all around. Your thoughts?
Don't think I've ever played that, certainly not on a Nintendo system. I think I played some version of it on the Atari Lynx or something.
Yeah, that's right. Now, you're from California, so I feel like you should have played this game.
More or less.
If there was a game called Seattle Games, I would definitely have played it by now.
Well, like I said, I did at least try it a little bit, but yeah, it seemed that at least on the Lynx, it wasn't quite my thing. I mean, I'm actually a New Yorker by birth, so give me a break here.
Are you really?
I am.
Wow.
Now you know. Knowing is half the battle. Moving on to my next game of summer, I'm going with Shantae. This is another game that has a sort of hot, deserty theme, a lot of exotic Middle Eastern-style flair, and of course, Shantae is dressed in a very breezy and easy-to-maneuver-in dancer's outfit. It's not all deserts or anything, but that is sort of a central theme, and most importantly, it's just a great series, whether you're talking about the Game Boy Color original or the recent Half-Genie Hero on Wii U and Switch. I know I've said it before, but I'll say it again, I definitely recommend picking this one up.
That is one that I will pick up for this summer, for sure.
You definitely should. It's excellent.
I thought you were getting a little pervy with the Shantae's description, but it's cool.
Pervy? It's not like I was mentioning her bikini outfit or the fact that she has see-through pants or her shapely... you know what? Never mind. I think we should probably move along to the next game here.
Sorry, Chris.
Moving on. The next game on my list is, I think, probably the most obvious one, and that would be Super Mario Sunshine from the GameCube. I mean, could it be any more obvious that this is intended to be a summer fun type of game? I mean, it's Mario in a short-sleeved shirt with a water-shooting backpack that doubles as a rocket and a water ski, and it extends to the entire environment. The whole thing is set on this tropical island, complete with those Pianta Islander characters. So I find that it's basically, you know, fun in the sun turned into a platformer. It couldn't really get any more direct than this.
I mean, it's literally called Mario Sunshine, for criminy's
sake. Yes. Yes, it is. I mean, you're going after the shines. You're going after sunshine in the game. I mean, there really couldn't be a better symbol of summer. And it doesn't even have the traditional Mario-themed worlds, you know? Everything sticks to this tropical island theme, and it does it really, really well. And I know that a lot of people, you know, it's kind of not their favorite Mario game, but I really like what that game did. And I think looking back on it, you know, sort of from a historical perspective, I think people would like it more if they played it now. You know, when it came out, people were like, okay, this is the sequel to Mario 64. I'm ready for some more Mario 64. And when it wasn't that, a lot of people were kind of disappointed. But just, you know, looking at it on its own, I think it's quite an excellent game.
Yeah, I can see that point. For me, it's actually the French accordion that kills it. I have a running joke with a friend about how in almost every Nintendo game since Super Mario Sunshine, there's like a French accordion. And if you listen for it, you'll find it.
All right. Well, I think you're a French accordion.
You have no proof of that.
Another excellent tropical-themed platformer action game that I really like is Super Adventure Island.
Oh.
Of course, all of the Adventure Island games, you know, sort of fit into this tropical island theme that could make it a suitable game of summer. But the thing I really, really like about this one is that the music is absolutely awesome. So you're not just a goofy guy in a grass skirt out to rescue his girl from you know, crazy bad guys on a tropical island. You're doing it with some of the best music on the Super NES. It's from Yuzo Koshiro, the same guy who did ActRaiser, and you know, it's very, very different, but it is still excellent, excellent music.
You know, come to think of it, you look a little like Master Higgins.
Well, I mean, I guess there was that one time I came to work just wearing a grass skirt, but, you know, that was a long time ago, man.
Well, then you picked up a skateboard and a football helmet. It was
but my lawyer says we can't talk about that.
Things got a little out of hand.
Super Adventure Island 2 is also a really excellent game, and in a lot of ways I probably prefer it to Super Adventure Island 1. Since it's got these Metroid-style adventure aspects and, you know, different stuff to equip. But it doesn't really fit the summer theme as well. So if you're going to do something, you know, that's summer-themed, stick with Super Adventure Island 1.
You know, Chris, now that you've mentioned it along the lines of Super Mario Sunshine, I might pick up Fluidity Spin Cycle for my Nintendo 3DS. It kind of has that water theme, you know, maybe isn't...
Yes, it certainly does.
...isn't so much summer-related, but, you know, I like the fact that you play a little, you know, ball of water, and you essentially explore all the different properties water can take to solve puzzles.
Yeah, it definitely gives you that feel of cooling off.
Have you played that game?
You know, I've played that version a little bit, but I played the original Fluidity on Wii quite a bit more.
Yeah, I did too. I just couldn't say another Wii game. I felt like I was kind of a cop-out. So.
Well, either way, both of the games are pretty cool, if you pardon the pun.
Oh, boy.
Very different, very interesting, almost like you know, Metroid type game, the way you're exploring and stuff, but yeah, you're doing it as like water or sentient water, which is a very creative take on the genre. So
yeah, they're a good way to let off some steam.
I see what you did there.
What else you got, Chris?
Well, the next one I would pick would be Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze.
Ooh, good choice.
I mean, you could probably say again any of the Donkey Kong Country games, but you know, this one in particular, not only does it have the island setting, the jungles, the vines, the underwater area that all make it seem very summery, but then of course it's got the best of both worlds in that, you know, a lot of things are frozen, you know, like the title implies. So it's got the tropical, it's got the freeze, and so, you know, maybe it's hot outside, but you can at least cool down vicariously with your gorilla friend Donkey Kong.
Yeah, I could see if your AC was out, maybe playing Tropical Freeze just to see if, maybe just by looking at the screens and the visuals, you might start to think, oh, I'm a little cold in my apartment.
Yes, hopefully it will help. Also, the Tropical Freeze is my favorite beverage to pick up at 7-Eleven.
I thought that was Baja Blast.
That is Taco Bell, I think.
Yes, you're right, you're right.
I kid. I wish there was something called the Tropical Freeze. There really should be. There should be. Perhaps it is a drink they would serve on Woohoo Island.
Oh.
Which, as it turns out, is the setting of the next game on the list, Wii Sports Resort. As it says on the package, you are escaping to paradise. And once you get there, you get to engage in a variety of activities. Swordplay, wakeboarding, archery, frisbee, basketball, jet skiing, cycling, golf, table tennis, bowling, canoeing, and air sports. All, of course, with the Wii Motion Plus.
Yeah, Wii Sports Resort is a classic. You know, I don't think it necessarily had quite the impact the original Wii Sports had, being a bundle packing.
No, it didn't.
But Wii Sports Resort was great in its own right and super accessible, and of course ushered in the Wii Motion Plus that everyone sort of had to own but didn't really need.
Still, there's a lot of fun stuff to enjoy in Wii Sports Resort. And, you know, maybe it doesn't really quite fit my theme of how to beat the heat, because there is a very good chance you'll work up a real life sweat. So the game might not be for everybody, even if your Wii is still hooked up, but you know, it's cheaper than going to a real island resort, so there's definitely that.
Well, speaking of island resorts, Chris, Pilot Wings Resort happens to also take place on Woohoo Island. Have you played that
one? Yes, this is true. You know, I've only played it a little tiny bit. I've not played it that much. Was it great? Did I miss out?
Well, it's definitely not my favorite Pilot Wings. I think that it is appropriate for summer because it definitely takes place in a tropical location.
Yep, it sure does.
Lots of lens flare, lots of blue ocean backdrops, and, you know, the whole concept of flying around is enough to make you, you know, again, feel a little chilly on a hot summer day.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that one. But speaking of sports games, I would also like to suggest one of my all-time favorite sports games, a classic going back to the NES, and that would be Track and Field 2.
Ooh.
It's got no Olympic license, but it does have basically a full-on Olympic mode with 12 events, including triple jump, pole vault, swimming, hammer throw, high dive, clay pigeon shooting, hurdles, kayaking, etc. Plus, it has some bonus events like arm wrestling, hang gliding, and a very strange one I call Gangster Massacre. I don't know why there's a gangster shooting mode in there, but there is. Anyway, it's great for old school sports game fans. You know, I really, really got into it. Just make sure, try to bring your NES Max if you're going to play it. Turbo Fire is definitely recommended unless you like want to lose an arm from wearing it out. And the weird red cycloid pad on the NES Max is great for the hammer throw. So really fun game there.
I'm bringing my power pad. I don't know about you, but but that's the only way for me to play Track and Field 2.
Okay, it's not compatible with it, but if you want to play it that way, go ahead.
What?
Go ahead.
Is it really not?
Nope, sorry to burst your bubble.
What game was that? What game was that?
You'll have to play Stadium Events or something if you want to get some power pad action going. Sorry.
Well, I feel like my whole life is a lie now. Well, speaking of the NES, if I was going to play a summer game on the NES, a summer-themed game, I would have to pick TNC Surf Design.
Oh, no.
Which, to me, is absolutely one of my favorite. And it actually kind of got me into skateboarding when I was a kid. Because it made me think that skateboarding was super awesome. Because even though the game was really hard, the idea that you could, you know, ollie over frisbees and yo-yos and holes in the ground and surf like a giant cat or gorilla.
Yes.
I'm a huge fan of the game. I know that there's some mechanics that are questionable. And people are a little hit or miss with it. It definitely sticks out in my mind as one of my sort of classic nostalgia NES titles.
I'd say you're pretty hit or miss if you're picking that one. Man, an LJN game, huh? But I will say it is very summery, regardless of anything else I might have to say about TNC surf design. Definitely appropriate for summer. I'll give you that much. The next one on my list, though, another Olympic-themed game, Mario and Sonic at the Olympics. There have been a whole bunch of them, but I suppose if I was going to pick one, I would say that the most recent ones, based on the Rio Summer Olympics that came out last year on Wii U and 3DS, are actually pretty darn good. Admittedly, it's not the Mario versus Sonic crossover everyone wants, but it's still very solid, and it's still fun seeing Mario and Sonic square off alongside their friends and sidekicks and rivals. And so for some modern Olympic fun with simple pick-up-and-play controls and lots of events and you know, some cartoony goodness with favorite characters, it does come recommended.
I think along the lines of your track and field 2 pick, this makes sense because it's just a fun game. It's one of those games where if you have a couple people and you want to play a game and compete, it's a really fun, easy party game to pick up and play.
Yep, so it is. Now, these next ones aren't as old as some of the games we've been discussing, but they are more than 10 years old now. And I'm talking about Boktai and Boktai 2 for Game Boy Advance. Pete, you remember these games, don't you?
Of course. They made you, they required you to go out into the sun to play them.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. That was the game's big hook, is it had a sun sensor built into the cartridge, and so it would take thermal readings and actually use that to like power your weapon and influence other aspects of gameplay. Like the thing that you're trying to do in the game is you're trying to fight vampires, and so you have to purify their coffins and kill off these vampires, and you had to do that using literally the power of the sun.
Yeah, what a concept. It's crazy. Now, wasn't that actually like designed by Hideo Kojima?
Well, Hideo Kojima was very heavily involved. I don't think he was the game designer, but yes, he was the guy responsible for those titles. Mm-hmm. It is true. And I'll admit, the games can be a little bit tough to manage. Like, it's possible for you to be out in too much sun and you start to overheat and the game doesn't like that. It's like, okay, I better move into the shade for a little bit. And then you have to move back into the sun. And let me tell you, when I played that game, it was a little bit rough. Like, I was playing the game at one point and then I looked down and there's like a big old spider on my leg. And I'm like, geez, that's. And then I looked down there later and it's like my leg is bleeding. Oh, that was probably the spider. It probably bit me while I was playing this game. So
you're making that up. No way that.
I am not making this up. It's possible it wasn't a spider bite. It didn't, you know, give me any radioactive spider powers or anything like that. But I literally bled to play that game.
Wow. Now I understand why you stay inside when you, it's summertime to play video games.
So yes, this is one of the reasons I make this list, games where you can get that stuff from without going outside. But should you feel like actually venturing outdoors and going into the summer heat, Boktai and Boktai 2 are great ways to do it.
Honestly, those games are super crazy concept. Like, if you want to experience all the different type of games that are out there, I recommend that you do go pick that up. Because it is just, it's so quirky. It's like, how did this ever exist and who made this and why? But once you play it, you start to realize the mechanic is pretty fun. I would say the biggest problem is that, you know, depending on which Game Boy Advance you're playing on, besides Spider, depending on which Game Boy Advance you're playing on, you know, if you're in the sunlight, it's not really easy to see the screen.
Yeah, it's true.
And then, of course, if you're in the shade, it's not always easy to see the screen either. So there was that. But, you know, in general, fun concept for a game.
Yeah, it's a fun game. It's worth dealing with most of the issues to at least experience it once, you know, except for maybe the spiders. I guess the last things that I want to mention aren't games that are really necessarily summer themed, But just because they were games that came out during the summer and I played them when I was younger, I feel like they fit really well for this category. And, you know, those are a couple of role-playing games. Both Earthbound and Chrono Trigger came out in summertime, if I recall correctly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're younger and you're on summer break, it's a perfect time to relax and play a lengthy role-playing game that you might not have time to play during the school year. So if those are the kind of games that interest you, it's a perfect time to kick back and enjoy something like that. So because of that, I would say I highly recommend those experiences for summer as well. And with that, I think that brings this topic to a close. I hope we gave you some ideas of games you can play in these remaining summer weeks if you hadn't thought of them, and hopefully you will get some enjoyment out of titles you might not have considered in a while.
And of course, you always got Breath of the Wild if you want to just putz around in Gerudo Desert for a while.
That's true. A lot of those Zelda games have desert environments too. Can't go wrong with those. Oh, and I suppose we'd better give a quick shout-out to Pokemon Sun and Pokemon Moon. It's hard to get more tropical and summery than those games. And with that wrapped up, I suppose it means we should bring this episode to a close. But before we go, I believe there's time for one more thing, and that is... Would you like to guess, Pete?
Chris, is it time for a dramatic reading?
It is indeed, but let me tell you, I've decided to go a different direction with the dramatic reading concept.
What?
Yes, that's right. For the last 101 episodes, all the dramatic readings have been based on the manuals or packages of vintage games. But for this episode, and perhaps the foreseeable future, I'll be performing dramatic readings out of Nintendo Power Magazine, starting with Volume 3, featuring Captain Nintendo. It was one of those sort of can't-make-up-its-mind-if-it-wants-to-be-gray-or-sunny kind of days. A day typical for Redmond, Washington, home of the headquarters for Nintendo of America, Inc. Maxwell W. Powers lumbered into the Research and Development Special Projects Department with a package that had been delivered to data entry by mistake. Max's best friend, Brett Randles, put his Metroid game on pause and turned his attention to Max. Ho, 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 said Max. I have a nice package for some little tech head who's been very good this year. It says, Napage microchips. Avoid exposure to moisture and extreme temperatures. All right, exclaimed Brett. We've been waiting for those. So where is Terra? Have you two interfaced yet? Asked Max. Miss Bates went out for coffee, said Brett indignantly. And no. But I've been trying to boot up my courage files to ask her out all day. It's about time. You've had a huge crush on her for 6 months.
Wow. Is that it?
Well, that's where we're ending today. I mean, if I did the whole thing, we'd probably be here for another hour or so. This thing is like, you know, several pages long.
Wow.
So, yes, I'm going to leave it on that exciting cliffhanger about... asking out Mrs. Bates, which sounds like a sexual harassment suit in the making there at Nintendo headquarters.
Yeah, this is an interesting topic. What? And then what were their names? What now?
Oh, yeah, Maxwell Powers.
Max Powers.
And I've already forgotten his buddy's name.
Yeah, it really doesn't matter.
But anyway, hopefully you're at the edge of your seat and just can't wait to find out what happens, because we'll pick up on this next week and learn more about the exciting origins of Captain Nintendo.
I mean, that sounds like a day in the life at Nintendo in Redmond, you know, right?
Well, so far, perhaps it does. Although, we avoided, you know, getting any harassment lawsuits.
Wait, you did?
But, yeah, we'll see where it goes from here.
And then, you know, that also, there was times where you would come over and bug me and I would pause my Metroid game, so I can relate to that.
I suppose you can.
Anyways, nicely done.
Well, that does it for this week. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at PowerProsPod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can follow me, The Hoff, on Twitter at Chris The Hoff, and you can find Pete at Burly Red Yeti. You can email us at powerprospod@gmail.com, and of course, if you like the podcast, it would be great if you would leave us a rating on iTunes or tell your friends about us. Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, Pete Michaud.
Thanks, Fox!
And a law enforcement officer who can read me my rights anytime, Patricia Wagon.
Justice served!
We will see you next time.